Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most, because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. And they don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Mark Palmer, and on today's episode, we had Tino Sanchez, a friend of mine. He's a comedian and musician. We talked about a bunch of really interesting things, the scamdemic, his relationship with cannabis. Tino's someone I've met in person. We drove around in New Jersey. He's sitting in the back of my car with Sam Tripoli. That was fun. So back then, I invited him on the show, and all this time later, we finally made it happen. So enjoy this episode of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. Come on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC. It's possible that, like, the brainwashed sheep are going to end up in a separate timeline, a different reality, and those of us who have awakened be going to a
dude, they're already... They're already in a different timeline. They're living in fucking La La Land. Gavin McGinnis says this a lot. There's just going to be a divorce. I don't know. I mean, it's possible there could be a civil war. But, I mean, who's that guy that Biden just put in charge of the ATF? The guy who is the guy that fucking killed innocent children in Waco, Texas. Fucking La La Land. So this is 1 year ago today. Health experts support anti-police protests. As public health advocates, we do not condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission. This should not be confused with a permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protests against stay-home orders. These are the fucking experts, bro. And then right underneath it is George Orwell that says, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. So the experts 2 weeks before BLM, stay in, don't kill grandma, don't be selfish, fucking La La Land. I'm like, God, I can't believe all those years I was with a band. I had bands and I never smoked weed. Because now, you know, 100% beneficial.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Welcome to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mark Palmer. With me today is someone I've actually met in person. He's a really hilarious dude. I saw him live in New Jersey at the Dojo, the comedy club that Sam co-owns, and Mike Romanelli as well. Tino, how are you today?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going well, man. It's going well. I'm happy to have you back for a longer conversation here. I know...
Yeah, this is a good thing because I just got over the COVID. I knocked it out in about 3 days. So last week, Saturday, so a week ago, wait a minute, we're on Wednesday. Okay, so not the last Saturday, but Saturday before that last, I started feeling weird. My head started feeling a little weird. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was pretty much off my feet. And it was just felt like a light flu, you know, because I haven't had the flu since I was fucking 20. So as far as I can remember, I think I've only had the flu once. And this was like a light flu. I was at one point I was a little hot, like maybe feverish, but I was pretty much off my feet for 3 days. And then Wednesday I was good. Okay, now I could, you know, run errands and do stuff again. So it's about 3 days it took. And day number three, like for me, I don't get sick that often. And when I do, I'm like, all right, 3 days is plenty. I'm like, time to get back up and at them. And so then I was still sleeping a lot from those 3 days. I would like just take naps in the middle of the day. Mm. And then just right before you texted me, I was like falling asleep at my desk. And I was like, ah, shit, I can't go to sleep. Because then it's just becoming a habit of sleeping every day around the same time. So I was like, I need to get up. I need to go do something. And then you texted. And I was like, oh, perfect. Good. Nice. So I'm going to make myself stay awake. Yeah, because I got into the habit of taking naps to beat this stupid thing. Yeah. So,
That's the theme of this show that kind of just developed is the synchronicity. There's another moment right there. Yeah, man, that's how it works. But I'm happy to hear you're feeling better. I myself can remember a time in my early 20s when I had a flu, and I always related it to the girlfriend I was seeing at the time, like staying at her house and being around all these new people. Like my immune system probably took a hit. That was what I surmised in that moment. But like with this most recent flu, as you called it, a light flu, did you notice any of the symptoms that some people were kind of equating to possibly 5G, like the radiation sickness type?
Well, I don't know. What are the radiation symptoms?
So typically people who have a radiation poisoning will experience loss of smell or taste.
Yes, 100%.
Right. And that's, you know, obviously that's kind of a general symptom. So it's not a cut and dry like, oh, yep, that means this. I noticed through, you know, the past year, just from, you know, common here and there conversations that, yeah, that was one of the major symptoms that people were like, yep, I got COVID. I know I did because I lost my taste and I lost my smell. And me personally, I smoke so much weed that, like, I don't know if my taste and smell is just being kind of dulled a little bit from that. You know, certain smells I catch.
No, dude. No, weed is a performance-enhancing drug. I'm going to send you this article I saved in my notes.
Please do.
That the argument that, yeah, it is, 100%. I started smoking weed for jiu-jitsu because I was pretty much straight edge my whole life. And I kick myself every day for not smoking weed when I was in bands. Because when I have a music background, I'm like, God, I can't believe all those years I was with a band, I had bands, and I never smoked weed. Because now, you know, 100% beneficial for writing. And by the way, I was going to say, for the COVID thing, 100%. I was like, I was going to get sick. If any time I'm going to get sick, it was going to be when I was on the road with Sam. Because our very first, that's where I met you at the dojo. My very first plane ride with Sam, we took the red eye from LA to New Jersey. And I was like, oh, because I don't like the red eyes ever. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll just sleep. No, we were on one of those international planes where there was four rows in the middle and like three on the outside. I get the middle, their coach. I'm already thin. I don't even know how come the fat people aren't boycotting the airlines yet for these chairs, because those if anybody's fat shaming anybody, it's the international flights, because ain't nobody bigger than 200 pounds sitting comfortably in any of those seats.
Tell me about it. I'm 6'8". I can't. I'm skinny and yeah. I can't fit in like roller coaster. You know, all of that, dude.
Yeah, your knees would be up to your ears. So I was worried that shit, because we're in those tubes and we got all these idiots wearing fucking face diapers. And I was like, that's when I was worried about getting sick. I don't get sick that much. I was having issues with sleep for the past 3 years because I had three very old dogs that one by one, I had to start carrying for 3 years straight, three different dogs I was carrying, and I was screwing up my sleep because they couldn't get up and they were having accidents in the house. So when I moved back to Vegas, I was like, I got to get my sleep straight. So I was pretty good. I was like, okay, I didn't get sick when we went on the road. I'm good. And then all of a sudden it fucking hits me. And I'm like, where the hell did this come from? There's probably a show I had done somewhere, or one of these fucking sheep shed on me. And that's probably what happened. I got shed on by these fucking shedders now. So then I was doing edibles every night. I do them. It's so crazy. I'm such a stoner, I forget to smoke or I forget to take edibles. But for this, the COVID that I had, Sunday night, my head started hurting. And I figured out a long time ago that weed for headaches and for vertigo, I had a very short stint of vertigo. And that was, I think, related to jujitsu. And I noticed that for any kind of head thing, for any kind of body, any kind of pain, weed was amazing. So starting from that Sunday, I went and bought a bunch of edibles, and I was taking, like, I'm still a lightweight, like 20 grams, and I'm like in the sunken place. So 20 grams and I'm just out, and I slept like a fucking rock, and I was monitoring my sleep with those Whoop, with that Whoop thing. Have you heard of Whoop, where it monitors your heart rate and all that? But yeah, man, I attribute me quickly getting over it to the weed. I mean, I slept great. I mean, because like if I was sleeping without it with the COVID, I could imagine my head would be aching. I probably wouldn't be able to sleep. My body was aching. Man, I went out and the weed 100% doing an infomercial for weed, I guess.
No, but dude, you're in the right place to do that. I mean, I am a huge advocate for cannabis. I think that's why I've been so healthy. I mean, I smoke weed every day. I've made that choice since I was 16. It's been probably almost a decade now that I've been perpetually stoned, but I've also been perpetually healthy. And I definitely credit cannabis with my awakening, this introspective intuition that blossomed from when I really
smoked. 100%, man.
Yeah, but what
I feel sorry for people. Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's okay. Go for it.
I feel sorry for people like Sam, who's like sober, and like these people that like they won't do psychedelics, they won't do weed because AA has got them thinking that plants are going to make them relapse and shit. And I've been telling Sam all the time, like, because we've been talking about ayahuasca. I've done ayahuasca like 12 times. And like, you know, the studies and ayahuasca and the ibogaine and all that stuff for, especially iboga, ibogaine or iboga, depending on who you talk to or how it's administered. But I'm like, I'm trying to tell Sam, I'm like, no, dude, if you do any of this, it's only going to help you, you know? I know people that have done the iboga and they've gone down to Mexico, and like that's got like a 95%, like, what's the word? Not, I guess, cure, or where people just don't even cure drugs anymore. I mean, want drugs anymore. They don't even, after they do that stuff. Yeah, and I feel sorry for people like, I feel sorry for people like Sam, who's like, I was like, bro, weed is the best. But the people that are sober, you can't tell them, man. They just, I tell them, it's like saying, don't eat a salad, man. It's like, it's good for you.
Yeah.
And by the way, side note, I have a dog that the reason I really got into cannabis, I had a dog. She was diagnosed with lymphoma in 2015, March 14, 2015. The vet told me she had 8 weeks to live. We put her on the cannabis oil. She went 5 more years. And we lost her about 2 weeks before her 17th birthday.
Wow.
So, and then I just had to put her down because she couldn't walk anymore. She lost her hearing and her sight was going, and then just the quality of life. But yeah. 5 years after my vet told me she'd be gone in 8 weeks. So yeah, 100% cannabis all the way.
Yeah. And what you brought up previously, just now with the training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and using cannabis as a performance enhancer, dude.
Oh yeah.
100% my experience when I was in high school, probably like freshman and sophomore year, I was obsessed with the UFC. I was on the wrestling team and I was just like described. I was straight edge and I found out like one or two of the wrestlers were like smoking weed and I'm like, you guys got to cut that out. You know, I was that type of guy
for one year.
You know, and then something just clicked.
Indoctrinated.
Yeah, something clicked, man, and I just warmed up to it. And then like within a week of trying it, I was in head first, and then I was that dude who was like smoking by himself, you know, which was weird for high school. Everybody kind of did it socially, but I noticed like, wow, okay, this is helping me with my martial arts. This is helping me with the things I'm interested in studying, you know, and it's adding new dimensions to a world that I was really kind of developing a cynical outlook towards. And I think cannabis brought back the spirituality, but where it also kind of fits into martial arts spirituality, and then of course cannabis, is when Bruce Lee comes into the fray, because I was always such a fan and, you know, student of Bruce Lee's teachings. And when I found out that he was eating cannabis back in like the 60s and using that as a training, you know, supplement,
I didn't even know that. I didn't know that about Bruce Lee. That's awesome.
Bro. Yeah, and I found that out. And obviously, you know, Eddie Bravo, the Twister, you know, he invented all these sick jiu-jitsu moves. So I found out Eddie was smoking pot. I found out Bruce Lee was using pot. And I'm like, wow, okay. And it brought this new perspective. And yeah, I really credit cannabis for putting me where I am today. And, you know, at the behest of, you know, my family, who they're like, wow, he just smokes so much pot, that's going to ruin his life, or whatever bullshit they think, you know, because we're East Coast and it's just, maybe if I was in California, it'd be more acceptable. But like, yeah, I'm definitely.
Oh, they're indoctrinated. They're brainwashed everywhere. But my mom, straight edge, Christian, still goes to church every Sunday. I got her, I had to change her, because she wouldn't have done it if she hadn't seen that it saved my dog. And she got lupus, and we put her on the oil, which was like a tincture and a fico, which was the full extract. It's a dark oil, I'm sure you've seen it. And we put her on that, and the doctor was like, oh, I guess we misdiagnosed you. Because any autoimmune diseases, 100% anybody listening, for your dogs, for humans, especially lupus, Hashimoto's, I mean, any auto, or just for inflammation. Right. But yeah, she's a believer. I mean, and then we're talking about my mom, who, you know, one of those people that just focused, she instilled it in me. Yeah, you're a loser if you smoke weed. All that's the devil's lettuce, you know, all that shit growing up. And now she's on the CBD. She's on the tinctures. She's taking it regularly. Her dogs are on it as well, because she's got a dog that's got some arthritis. So yeah, changing minds, man. Changing minds.
Yeah, and you, the point you make about, you know, this AA community, I completely agree with you. I think one of the past guests I've had on the show that really kind of elaborated that is like John Podash, who wrote this whole book and directed a film called Drugs as Weapons Against Us. And it's just, they take these plant medicines and then they concentrate them down to the like composite parts, and it ends up not even being the same thing. I mean, the opioid crisis, that's all poppy fields. That's all heroin just in pill form. And what's sad to see for me, and I'm really eager to get your opinion and your thoughts on this, is at least on the East Coast, it seems like the corporations have really jumped on this cannabis enterprise opportunity in Massachusetts. Like, it's fully recreational there, but like, it's nothing like the pot I would buy when I visited Colorado from those recreational dispensaries. So there's like a very clear difference between corporate bud and the grassroots shit that started in the West Coast and Colorado that kind of pushed this movement forward. So what are your thoughts on corporate influence over cannabis?
Oh, I mean, corporate influence on anything. They ruin everything. It's not about, everything they touch. I mean, it's just corrupt to the bone. And the more I listen to Michael Malice, the more I think, shit, I might be an anarchist, because the answer is not less government, no government. If you haven't read his book, I'm in the middle of it right now. Michael Malice, he's on the East Coast. He's really good friends with Dave Smith and
yeah,
the whole Legion
of
Skanks and all those guys.
Gas Digital, right?
Yeah, yeah. Michael Malice is a genius, man. It really, like Michael Malice, Dave Smith for president. Hello, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on with him and the Libertarian Party, he is like a true Ron Paul Rothbardian, like less government, liberty, non-aggression principle. There's two people in politics: those who want to be left alone and those who don't. Leave them the fuck alone. I mean, you gotta read. Anyway, so the more I listen to Michael, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, privatize everything. I mean, it's so simple. It's like you don't want to send your kid to a public school. You want to send her to a private school. You don't want the U.S. mail. You want UPS. You want FedEx. I mean, the government, everything they touch, and by the way, is now big corporations. They're one and the same thing. They're doing each other's bidding. They're the left and the right arm. Anything that they touch turns to shit. Anything and everything.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What was I going to tell you?
No, and that's the real highlight there to what you're saying that I'm picking up on is like power to the people. Corporations are not bad in and of themselves, but when you reach that big level, it becomes a conglomeracy, you know, these mega corps that just have no concern for A, the environment, B, the people that they're exploiting, and C, again, the environment they're exploiting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's everything. Yeah.
But I think what's cool about plant medicine is its ability by itself to wake people up, you know, like by itself, cannabis, all you got to do is smoke it. You know, it's like Bob Marley said, smoke the weed and it will reveal you to yourself. You know, like the more you smoke, the more you learn about yourself. And I think that you really can't separate that from reality. Obviously the GMO stuff, Frankenbud, like that might be a possibility, but yeah, man, I think cannabis is worth doing an infomercial for, because it's just like, it's the healing of the nations, as one of my past guests described it, Chris Bennett, who studied the history and still does, studies the history of cannabis and wrote a huge book on it. But yeah, man, it's really crazy when you realize, like, wow, people in the Bible were using cannabis to like anoint the sick, and like, oh wait, just like what you said, cannabis has all these anti-inflammatory properties. It has all of these properties that are really great for the nervous system. And people were being cured of schizophrenia, which in those times they thought was demon possession. They were being cured with an anointing oil, right? Which most likely had cannabis in it. And, you know, that's what possibly gave some of these people healing powers, was their knowledge of plant medicine. But that information has been obscured through history so that we don't remember that it was cannabis that played that role until, you know, a guy like Chris comes along. But yeah, man, it's really cool to vibe with you on that. I mean, as far as your...
Have you done ayahuasca?
Oh, let's get into that. No, I have not. I've had some pretty excellent LSD and mushroom experiences. Never any DMT, unless you count mugwort, which is like this rare little freaking herb. Not that rare, but like uncommon. Kind of sounds like some Harry Potter shit, if you ask me. But if you smoke it...
Yeah, mugwort. I never even heard of that.
Right? Yeah, mugwort. If you smoke it, no lie, Tino, it will give you a lucid dream. Like, smoke it before bed, and you'll have a lucid dream. But it's like a one in... At least in my case, it was a one and done type thing. Like, I went back to the chase the dragon, and it was no more. So, but yeah.
You know what gives you lucid dreams, too? Joe Rogan's on it. Alpha Brain.
Really?
100%, man. They'll say, don't take it for bed unless you want to have some crazy fucking dreams. And it's 100%. So, you know, it's, you know, the, what do they call them?
Is it L-theanine that does that?
The nootropics?
Yes.
It's like brain. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of different ones. Alex Jones has his own. There was a bunch of different ones. And before I started doing comedy, because I was a huge Rogan fan, I got it, and I didn't really notice anything. But I was like, yeah, I'm not really doing anything where I'm like, you know, needing to recall stuff or really using a lot of brain power. So I didn't really feel anything. And then when I started doing comedy, and then I would take it a few hours before I'd go do a set, and I totally. Oh, so the point was, is you take it too close to bed, and you are going to have some THX Dolby surround sound dreams. Yeah, dude. Yeah. So you could do that too, just easily with like those nootropics. Any one of them, I think, would do, but definitely Alpha Brain gives you some crazy lucid dreams. Yeah.
Wow. You got any memorable ones that stand out?
No, I just remember getting that like kind of THX kind of big theater, just that feeling of like, wow, I'm like in, what do you call the goggles? The
VR.
Yeah, like that kind of feeling.
Really?
From the stage. But the thing is, I don't ever remember my dreams. I hardly ever. And with that, when I was taking it, I was just trying it out to see what it was like to take it before bed. And I was like, oh yeah, that's some big dreams.
Yeah.
But
get into so ayahuasca, you've taken it recently or there was a time
in
your life?
Actually it's been a few years. I was doing it pretty regularly. I'll tell you what, I'm very thankful that I didn't do was take the trip down to South America, because that's, I mean, from my experience, I can't even imagine doing it for every day for a week. I don't even know how people do that. So you go down to these retreats and you can do a few days up to a week where you're drinking every day. And there was no way I could get away that long. So I was like, that's just out of the question. And then it was one of those things like what we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation where I was like, oh man, I need something to keep me awake today to get back into the rhythm, the routine of my life. And then you called, but it was the same thing with ayahuasca. I just remember thinking, oh man, I need to try this. And then the girl that I was buying weed from, or this person, it was a different person I was buying my weed from, I just happened to bring it up, and he goes, oh yeah, we have a group that meets out here. And it was like that, like, you know, it wasn't even like I went looking for it. It's just like, guys, yeah, we have a group that meets. And I did a couple of different shaman. And at first I was like, when people were throwing up, I was like, oh, this is bullshit. They just got like food poisoning. And then after I experienced it, I was like, oh no, this is legit. Yeah. Your body, you are purging negative shit out of your body, out of your soul. The best way I can describe it when I describe it is like, you know, like cleaning the barnacles off the bottom of your ship or rebooting your computer. You are like getting in touch with what's important, which is something I've always had problems with, is, you know, personal connections with people. I'm kind of reclusive. I like my space. I don't like people coming in my space, and I don't have a lot of friends. And this kind of like reboots you and goes, oh yeah, these are the important things, friends, family, you know, connection, that kind of stuff. And you're going there, you drink that stuff, and you are purging out bad shit. And it's 100%. And so when I did it the first night, I was like, oh my God, there's no way I could do a week of this. And I suppose I could, because it gets easier as you drink, which, you know, it's really, I don't know, man. If you have issues with throwing up, get ready. You're going to puke. And it's like, so like I said, I've done it like 10, like at least 12 times from last count. And the last three or four times, it was coming out of both ends. The first, you know, I'd say 7 or 8 times I had done it, I had just purged, just throwing up. And then the last three or four times, it was coming out of both ends. I'm like, okay, is this going to happen every time now? That's the shit. And I have to throw up. Because I got nervous. But the thing is like, once you hit that sweet spot, so you're going to drink this thick black bile. The only best way I can describe it. It smells and tastes awful. And then you're going to purge, and there's nothing you can do. And there's very rare cases of people who go in and don't purge. I know a couple people that I sat with that just, you know, everyone's throwing up their guts and they're just staring there looking at you. And I'm like, oh, we got some fucking lizard people here. So you can feel it coming. You just go with it. You're getting rid of that negativity. And then you hit that sweet spot. Like, the best way I can describe it is that scene from the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, when she's in that little ball, and they got that chair bolted to the wall, and it's shaking because it's not supposed to be there. That wasn't part of the plan. There wasn't supposed to be a chair. So it's shaking. It's not right. And then all of a sudden it breaks loose, and then there's just total tranquility. That's how it is. It's like your body is shaking. You're rattling. You're shaking like you're going to explode. And then all of a sudden, just peace, calm, serenity, huge, bright patterns, you know, geometrical patterns and colors. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So if you've done the DMT, you're getting kind of a fast forward. I don't know if you purge when you smoke the DMT. I don't think you do. So that's my next thing. I haven't done that yet. Yeah. Where you just smoke the DMT vapes. I got a couple people that I need to hook up with to grab that. I've been meaning to do. But yeah, highly recommend the ayahuasca to reset that hard drive, man. Yeah. And I haven't done it. I haven't done it for years. Like my friend, they had what is that thing? It's called, it's the frog combo.
Oh, where euphotamine.
Yeah. Where they pierce your, well, there's like a combo thing where they do from the frog. I think they call it combo. And you poke your skin and you get like four or five dots. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Hamilton Morris famously did that on Vice, I believe.
Yeah. So my friends just met. It's funny because I was going to go. It was the end of the month. And then I got sick. And it's a good thing I didn't pay ahead of time because I probably would have been out. But that's what I wanted to try next. So there's all these, the combo they call it, where they take like something from the frog and then they pierce your skin and you violently purge. And then it's supposed to be really good for resetting as well. But yeah, I, what I was saying before is I haven't done it in a few years. And they say you'll get the calling, and I just haven't had it, you know? I haven't had the calling to do it again. So if you're like interested and you put it out there, it'll answer and it'll reveal itself and you'll find somewhere or some people. But yeah.
Now that right there, what you just said, I think A is the, you know, underlying theme and motivation for this show is to highlight the synchronicities, but also, I mean, do you think that it's, I mean, I would assume it's not just with ayahuasca, like if you put your intention out there, the way you just described, the universe will bring things onto your path if you're aware of it. Yeah. Has that been your experience with, you know, I mean, obviously with the type of work you do, you sometimes are probably feeling like you're flying by the seat of your pants. I have a very similar style of job now, thanks to Sam Tripoli. You know, you kind of feel like you're when you're self-employed, like everything's kind of happening in the now and you have to be aware. Is that, you know, obviously you've been at this much longer than I have. What's the thoughts on synchronicity?
You know what? You know, you're absolutely right. But I think that when I was telling you that I don't have a problem with human connection and I don't have a lot of friends and stuff, and I think that I've closed a lot of doors because I'm the way that I am, because I'm reclusive and I don't like people. Because I find myself, and I need to be more open to that because that's a good point. Yeah, like when I was thinking about ayahuasca, when I was thinking about that, it revealed itself, and I need to keep my antenna up and open for everything, you know?
If you'll allow me, to break that down a little deeper, because I think that what we're both experiencing right now is exactly what I intended, right? So ayahuasca being mysterious, having this allure, having this preset kind of idea of what it is, makes it sort of, I would say, convenient for this type of manifestation, whereas something like the perfect career or the perfect relationship or the perfect property to live on, like those are things that have so much mundanity and banality that we already naturally associate so many things and emotions with those archetypes, so to speak. So like an ayahuasca experience being so new to most people, you put that intention out there, it's pretty pure, it's pretty direct what you're looking for, right? Whereas when we try to put our intentions out there to get, you know, the perfect career or more money or the better car, whatever these kind of, and those are superficial examples, that's not what I think the law of attraction is meant to be, but do you see where I'm kind of hammering in at is like what we associate our emotions to brings more momentum to the thoughts we want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 That makes a lot of sense. And what I'm thinking is that I'm just too closed off. I'm just too, especially as I get older and I have less patience for the dumb shit and the sheep, I find myself just like turning into like get off my lawn guy, you know, like just fuck off. Go with your stupidity and your wokeisms and it's just hurting me. I need to be more receptive and more open. I'm turning into my dad, basically. Turning into my dad.
Recognizing it is the first step. I mean, you know, much younger than you, I can't expect to sit here and you know, tell you how to live your life, but I definitely agree with, or I kind of empathize with you, because I do the same thing, you know, especially when I was younger and before I really like kicked myself out of my shell, because being so tall, it's kind of hard. Not, and you're a pretty tall dude too, so I'm sure you experienced this where you walk into a room and people kind of notice you. So for me, it was like, oh, all right, I got to get used to being social because everyone's going to fucking ask me my height every time I meet them. You know what I mean?
I know. What are you, like 6'5"? What are you?
6'8". Yeah. So.
Oh, Jesus.
But you,
6'8". Holy Christ.
Yeah. But for a large part of my life, that was a limiting belief. I always used to tell myself things like, oh, well, you're so much taller than everybody else, or you're so much taller than that chick. Like, you're never going to be able to talk to her at a party because the music's too loud. And what, are you going to bend over halfway like a fucking one of those sippy birds, you know, just to whisper in a chick's ear? So, like, I had all
sippy
these,
bird.
You know, but I had, like, all these limiting beliefs. And
that's great.
You know, what it took was really just, like, maybe it was, like, psychedelics that kind of kick started it, but what it took, and I'm realizing it now retrospectively, what was asking myself different questions, better questions, more quality questions, because those questions that I was asking myself, like, why don't these people like me, or why don't things work out better, those, all those questions were just leading to more situations, right? Because my mindset was one of lack. When you recognize the abundance that you already have, Tino, I mean, dude, not trying to, like, you know, go too far here, but, dude, you're a hilarious guy. I mean, honestly, it's surprising to hear you say this because you're a hilarious guy, man. I really, truly mean that when I say that. So I think, you know, being grateful for the qualities that you do have that will attract the right people into your life and the people that resonate with those things that you vibe with. Because, dude, I feel the same way. Like, you know, I just went through, like, a couple of months ago, a breakup, and, you know, it's like, oh, fuck, now I got to go and find another chick who, like, is down with all this stuff. Like, how hard's that going to be? And it wasn't at all, you know, and I just had to, like, get that limiting belief out of my way. But, yeah, man, I really encourage you to try that out. And, dude, anytime you want to talk about anything, manifestation, law of attraction, or whatever is on your mind, bro, don't hesitate to reach out to me, because that's kind of, like, where I see myself gaining improvement is when I'm turning my attention towards others sometimes and helping them, you know, see where they might be able to improve. And in that same moment, I'm working through things that I have to improve on myself, you know? So, yeah. Definitely.
Well, going back to weed, I mean, my girlfriend, she's always like, you need to smoke. It's like that it's like that Snickers commercial. It's like you're two different people until you eat something. And I get so in my own way that I won't I won't smoke. Like, I got vape pens all over the place. I got pre-rolls everywhere. And I've been doing comedy for, I don't really count 2020, but that'd be 7 years. And that's why I was saying I've kicked myself for not smoking weed when I had a band, because even after I started smoking in 2010, when I started, I knew, like George Carlin would say, write sober, punch up high. And I knew that. And I would never smoke except for when I'd go out, because I'd take like one hit before I go on stage. It makes me relax and just right in the right zone. And then it wasn't, so like I said, 7 years. And it wasn't until this last year that I moved back to Vegas. All that time, I wasn't smoking and then riding. I wasn't. And then just this last, I've been back since April, I would write and then I would go over my sets and then I would smoke and then I would write. And I smoked a lot before bed, or a lot of edibles. And then I find myself in the middle of the night. That was another thing, keeping from sleeping, waking up and writing down tons of ideas and tons of jokes. That's when I did most of my writing, is when I was going to sleep because I was so high. And then, so for this, since April, I've been smoking in the day before I write. And I'm like, you idiot. What have you been waiting? You haven't been doing this whole time. And what we were talking about before, about being receptive and being open to, you know, abundance and everything, that's the weed. I mean, if I'm not smoking, like I have to turn off Facebook, I have to turn off social media, because I'm just getting infuriated and just pissed off all the time, because we're in upside down world right now. Right. It's like up is down is up, and wrong is right. And I mean, we are in fucking clown world. It blows my mind how backwards everything is happening right now. But most of it is online. But it's starting to affect policy. It's starting to affect, I mean, we saw what happened with the last election. I mean, yeah. You had to be a fucking blind person indoctrinated to not know the fuckery that's been going on. Forget the last election, just every local. I mean, look, every state that's been turned blue. And you know, I don't want to get into politics and everything. I consider myself anarcho-capitalist. Leaning more towards anarchy. I'm definitely pro-capitalism. But, I mean, these people, they're trying to turn us into a socialist, communist country. Right. And I'm just going to sit around being pissed off all day, and it's like, okay, I have to smoke more. I have to be, you know, more even. I have to be more patient and, you know, affect the people around me and on a local level, you know, that whole thing. It's like, because otherwise we're fucking doomed, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I could relate with you there, before I started working for Sam, I had podcasted with him a couple times, but I was a delivery guy for Amazon, right? This is 2020, a couple months into all the bullshit, the height of the bullshit. Yeah. And on top of that, they're making us wear masks when we're loading up our vans in fucking July. So I was just pissed. I'm like, dude, why do I have to wear a mask? I'm outside. Fuck this. Like, I was against the grain to the core, because I'm listening to Tinfoil Hat while I'm delivering packages. Like, they're not brainwashing me. So one day, dude, I just hit this breaking point, because they go and they stick like a laser in my face as I'm lining up to go get my packages to load up the van for the day. And they're like, oh, we got to take your temperature. And I'm like, fuck that. I walk into the factory, and I never wore my mask. Like, people were constantly giving me a hard time about that. But I had to put myself out there, because I'm like, dude, you're the fucking the most noticeable guy here. You have the loudest voice. Like, you have to make an impact. Even if these fucking brainwashed idiots who are just Jeff Bezos, you know, pencil pushers or package pushers, you know, maybe they're not going to like get the message, but they're going to be like thinking about things a little differently because you stirred shit up. And that's what I did. I stirred shit up, and I was like, fuck the masks. We're not wearing masks as of next week. You know, like, I was starting some kind of movement that nobody got behind. Nice. You know?
Oh,
and,
wow.
No, well, yeah, because nobody wanted to lose their damn job, you know? Yeah. They're all making, you know, 18 an hour, because Jeff Bezos freaking got all these people, sweet deal, minimum wage employees delivering packages in these sick vans. You know, anybody would take that, especially in Connecticut, where it's a lot of low income. neighborhoods and stuff in those areas. But anyways, besides the socioeconomics of it all, I'm noticing now, in hindsight, how aggro that made me. And I would I would smoke weed like as soon as I left the factory. Like I had a gas station I stopped at. I'd roll up a blunt, fill up my delivery van, and then smoke on my way to my first stop. And like as soon as that like moment shifted, like the whole day was beautiful. Like I didn't give a fuck about COVID.
Yeah.
I didn't wear a mask because like, you know, once you're out on the road, you don't got anybody looking at you. So it was a good job. Yeah. It just sucked that they like, you know, all a lot of other things added up. But my silver lining to all of what I'm saying is over the past month.
Weed,
yes. And over the past month, they've relinquished the mask mandate where I live in Connecticut. So it's been really sick to walk around without a face mask and, you know, tell people like, hey, free your face, because it's sickening how many people are still wearing them even though they're not mandated to. So bro, I just walk around and I spread the vibes. I smile at people and remind them what the fuck it looks like to be a human, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I was really disappointed in humanity right after the BLM bullshit where, I mean, and it's funny, I was just looking at a memory today on Facebook and it was the experts, bro. It was the Fauci and these other idiot overlords that are in bed with China. These experts, quote unquote, this was a screenshot I had of a Facebook memory that were like, because they said that, I'm trying to find it right here. They said that racism was a public health crisis. That's what they said. Hold on, I found it right here. Dude, this is upside down world. Okay, so this is 1 year ago today. Health experts support anti-police protests. As public health advocates, we do not condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission. This should not be confused with a permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protests against stay-home orders. These are the fucking experts, bro. And then right underneath it, it's George Orwell. It says, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. So the experts, 2 weeks before BLM, stay in, don't kill grandma, don't be selfish, and you got all these woke, as Sam puts it, blue check marks saying the same bullshit, and then you're 40,000 deep in downtown LA, elbow to elbow twerking, talking about Black Lives Matter. I mean, so ever since then, I've just been like, I'm so glad I don't have children that are going to go through this fucking indoctrination camps is from the time of pre-K. I mean, you saw what Nickelodeon just put out the last 3 days with all the trans propaganda they're pushing on little kids. Yeah. I mean, I was so disappointed in humanity when I was like, wait a minute, you don't have to be smart at all to see the contradiction here. You can't go outside. You can't go to work. You can't go to a bar. You can't go to a movie. You can't go to church. But then 2 weeks later, it's okay to go gather and be that close to each other and nobody pushed back. If I was a business owner, there were some great businesses that pushed back. Max Pub, aren't they out in New Jersey? Oh, no, that's Staten Island. I think that's Staten Island. Do you know Max Pub?
No.
M-A-C-S. They are, wait a minute, you're in Jersey, right?
No, I live in Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut, my bad. So there was a couple from the very beginning that were just like, fuck you, we're not closing. So these guys, Max Pub, I believe they're in Jersey or Staten Island, I can't remember which one. They, from the very beginning, were getting shut down. The city was coming out. They were chaining up their doors, so the guys took the doors off. Then they boarded up their doors. The guy broke down the boards. He had kept his gym open. He had a huge GoFundMe going. They beat it. There's a great video of him, Max Pub, on Instagram of him. They were getting like $15,000 fine a day or something like that. And he won. And there's a great video of him tearing it up. And like the way people just bent over and took it from from Beverly Hills Cop. Not only are you allowing the, not only are they falling for the banana in the tailpipe, they're spitting on it first. Yeah, go ahead and fucking put it right up my ass. I mean, the disappointment, I couldn't believe how people just bent over for a year and a half. And just like you said, and you still see these fucking idiots out there with the masks on.
Yeah.
It's almost like last night I did a show here in Vegas, and there was like maybe four people I saw with the mask. And you, I mean, you heard my set. I go even harder now. I got a,
nice.
I got a song. I got a song where I do a parody of the Coldplay song Yellow. I don't know if I did that.
I think I remember that one. I do. Yeah,
yes, I did do that. So I put a new chorus on it because the chorus wasn't working. And I was like referencing the girl from the Tiger King, Baskin, what's her name? Carol Baskin.
Yeah, I was
referencing her and it kind of worked. But so I have people from the very beginning because the verse is, it's not the SARS, the Spanish or the swine flu. It's the Wuhan crew. And they were all yellow. So it's exactly set to that song Yellow. And it always kills. It always hits, even though, you know, the Chinese are the brunt of the joke, but it's cool. Cause I've had many Asian people and the Chinese people in the audience that have loved it. So I get them for the first three verses. The chorus is Yellow. And I'm making reference to, you know, the Chinese Kung Flu, you know, to that virus. And then, so I got them, everyone's laughing. And then the second part now I have where I go, and I use the original lyric of the song. The original lyric is your skin. Oh yeah. Your skin and bones turning to something beautiful. So I change it to your skin. Oh yeah. Your skin and bones is turning to something traceable. And then the second part, so I'm going hard at the, my dog gets safer shots than you. Clinical trials are for fools. So I already got them in, and you should have seen their faces because last night was the first time I did it with the new version. And it's like I got them, and they're like, oh, wait a minute. He's making fun of us. A lot of these sheep got that shot. And
yeah, dude, I love it. As a matter of fact, I want to invite you on to my buddy Alex Stein's podcast because he does these really fun man on the street videos in Dallas. And his Instagram is called Conspiracy Castle. And he was going around at the gay pride parade asking people if they'd got the vaccine. And it was surprising how many people didn't, which was good to see. But also the people who
in Dallas?
Yeah, the people who were like, oh, yeah, I got it. Not only did they seem very excited to tell Alex that they got the vaccine, but they all mentioned which brand of vaccine they got as if there's some kind of fucking Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? Like, it's so disgusting to see, like, oh, yeah, I'm a Pepsi person. You know, like, oh, I'm a Coca-Cola person. Oh, I'm a Pfizer person. You know, it's just like, oh, my God.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Doomed.
It was
doomed.
Yeah. And you know what? I think really the high point that maybe we can wrap up on is like a book I've been reading lately, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is it's all about time and the technosphere. And to sum it up real quick, the technosphere is like this matrix that humanity's created, you know, through the Industrial Revolution and all these other structures we've created. And Jose Argales's theory is that, hey, we're not in harmony with the planet right now. And the more out of harmony we continue to go, the more things are going to become apocalyptic. Right.
So,
part of that, like what we just mentioned with the synchronicity, like, oh, dude, I needed a reason to stay awake. And then you texted me. It's like, that is the law of time, synchronicity. Like, where do you think, you know, and maybe I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but do you think it's possible that, like, the brainwashed sheep are going to end up in a separate timeline, a different reality, and those of us who have awakened, you think we can make a change and maybe go into a
dude, they're already in a different timeline. They're living in fucking la-la land. And I think Gavin McGinnis says this a lot. There's just going to be a divorce. I don't know. I mean, it's possible there could be a civil war, but I mean, who's that guy that Biden just put in charge of the ATF? The guy who is the guy that fucking killed innocent children in Waco, Texas.
Wow.
I mean, and what message is that sending out? Well, hey, we'll burn you. We'll kill you. We'll send you that. What's that horrible gas that they sent in there that was that would make you contract so violently that you would break your own spine.
Sarin gas, is it?
I don't remember what it was. Oh, there's a great documentary. I'm sure you saw the one about Waco and how they lied and said,
oh yeah,
that the people inside shot first, and there's infrared video of that tank coming around the back, and you see the first shot come from that tank. I mean, yeah. Oh shit, what was your original question? Sorry,
Sidetracked. You didn't get sidetracked. That's exactly what I was.
Oh, I was saying that the people are living in La La Land right now. I mean, there's two realities right now. There's you know, it's cliche at this point, but it's the Matrix. I mean, we got people that are living in the Matrix, and you can show them evidence on top of evidence and proof on top of proof, and they're just not going to see it. Look at this whole thing with Hunter Biden right now. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if there were any text from Trump's kids using the N-word like that? What was the name of that country star that lost everything because he said something, my nigga, to my friend, to his friend, and someone turned him in? I mean, we are an upside down world, and we are the only people that have the They Live glasses on right now. We can see these lizard fucking people, and you're not changing any of these people's minds. They're dug in. This is the worst cult. These people are worse than Scientologists, bro.
Right.
I mean, they are dug in. You just said it. They're shouting out the pharmaceutical names for the experimental DNA changing drug that they're injecting into their own body.
Like their brain.
I mean, you don't get any more stupid than that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it reminds me of this quote or this percentage that I heard recently of like 20% of us are where you and I are standing, you know, awake, aware, trying to wake others up. 30% of us are those brainwashed fucks who will never move. But where the hope lies is that 50% that's left over that's on the fence, you know? And I think as angry and as passionate and as fired up as we get, sometimes that emotional charge leads those 50%ers who are on the fence to go running in the other direction, right? So considering this is a solution-based podcast and what you do as a comedian, as a musician, you're blending that really smart message into your art form, which is waking people up. Like you said, those people are having a visceral reaction to what you're saying in Vegas. So, you know, what advice do you have to leave with the listeners, you know, way to kind of cope with this fucking la-la land that we're living in right now?
Well, I would say don't believe the hype, but your listeners are probably already way ahead of that, and they're not believing the hype. But I don't know, man. Turn off the TV. I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, we are the freedom fighters. We are the people we're the patriots. We are the people who believe in true liberty, in true freedom. And these people are trying to take that away. And we have to be vigilant. At some point, we're going to have to come off of our comfort zone and get involved, man, because, I mean, there's a great quote. I can't remember who it was. It was like, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. We are in the weak man creating hard times right now.
Yeah. Well, Tino, I got to ask you, man, why, if you don't already have a podcast, because my guess is that you don't have your own podcast, but I might be wrong. Do you have your own podcast?
That's crazy. Sam was bugging me. He doesn't even bug me anymore. He got tired of bugging me. He's like, dude, you got to start a podcast. You got to start a podcast. And I have a perfect name for it. But here's the thing. I don't want to get canceled. There's two things. There's just so many podcasts. And I just felt like, what am I going to say that Sam's not already doing better, that Gavin McGinnis isn't already doing better, that you're not already doing better.
That's that.
I mean, I gotta figure something out. Something that's gonna it stand out a little bit. And the other thing is, so I got a name for it. I wanted to call it Trigger Rich.
okay.
But it sounds like, dude, that's a great name. You gotta do that. You gotta do that show. So I don't know. Maybe he's like, dude, and then he got that Rockfin connection. He's like, dude, you got to get on Rockfin.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to continue that discussion off the air, because with the cooperative that I founded, I definitely can help you get that going, and I wouldn't worry about audio RSS feeds getting you canceled. I think YouTube, maybe video content, that might be a little more sensitive, but RSS audio feed podcasting, that's like totally free speech. And I think it'd be cool, man, at least at the very least, for yourself to kind of have that outlet to vent, because you consume all this stuff, and if you just let it bottle up, you know, it's going to explode on the people you love and maybe make you turn inwards like you have in the past. Whereas you might find...
Did you say the N-word?
Turn inward. Come on now. that you got me there. But you know what I mean, man. And I think there are plenty of people out there who would see the name Gavin McGinnis and be like, fuck that. See the name Sam Tripoli and be like, fuck that. And that's sad, you know, because people judge books by their covers. But they might see your name and be like, oh, Tino Sanchez. Sounds like a guy I could vibe with. Whereas they might not vibe with a guy like Gavin McGinnis. So never put yourself there, man. I think you're definitely somebody who brings value to any conversation you're a part of. So, dude, even if it's like a 15-minute weekly, you know, rant, I think, dude, yeah, make a podcast, Tino. Sam is definitely right. So, dude, this has been awesome. Please tell people where they can find you. Obviously, Tino Boumaye, Boumaye like Muhammad Ali on Instagram. Anywhere else?
Yeah, I'm really disappointed that people didn't get that, because I thought that was a huge documentary. And it turns out that it's spelled different. There's two ways to spell it. It's B-O-M, which I don't want to be associated with anything that says bomb, because I'm a fucking comedian. So yeah. I ended up with this spelling, because I was, it's funny, I was having this conversation with a comedian I know in Austin, and she was like, maybe your name is just hard to find, because I was like, I've been on Road with Sam, been on his podcast a million times. I had a video just recently that dude got shared like 75,000 times. Damn. It was the video of Biden going, get vaxxed or stay masked. And then I put a collage together of all these movies going, go fuck yourself. And it started out with what was the Will Ferrell movie where he was a Anchorman? Yeah. It's go fuck yourself. So it was a whole thing. And then at the end it was Scarface going, why don't you try sticking your head up your ass, see if it fits. And then, dude, it got shared like last I saw was like 70,000 times. Yeah. I mean, it's probably even more. So I got all these followers on Facebook, and I'm like, no, follow me on Instagram. I was like, I put a thing out. And then my friend of mine, she was like, yeah, maybe it's because your name is not Tino Sanchez. So I was thinking maybe I should come up with a better name. But yeah, it's TinoBumaye. So like bum AYE. Tino bum AYE, which is Tino Boumaye. Which I thought was clever from the When We Were Kings documentary of Muhammad Ali in the Thrill in Manila, because they were Ali Boumaye, which means Ali kill him.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
so yeah, that's how you find me. Find me there on Instagram. That's the only one. Facebook, I just talk shit on there, but mainly Instagram is the one I'm trying to get those numbers up.
Cool. Well, Tino Boumaye. You can go and look in the episode description for all those links as well. Yeah, man, I definitely recommend making a second backup Instagram account. That can't hurt. But yeah, dude, this has been fun. I'm glad we finally got to sit down and connect like this. I'm looking forward to when you come back out to New Jersey, because I'll definitely be there. And yeah, man, have a great day, dude. This has been fun. I definitely keep me in the loop with any, you know, any podcast questions you have, anything that, you know, could possibly involve me helping you in any way, you know. Don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Probably should do something.
Yeah, hey, dude.
Right on, man. Well, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk soon, man.
You too, bro. Thanks.
Peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I hope the audio quality wasn't that bad there. Towards the end, it got a little rocky, but that's okay. Tino's a fucking badass. He's fighting the good fight, putting truth to power, putting it behind song and lyric and guitar melody and not shoving it in people's faces, but in a really hysterical, consensual way that they paid for, yeah, he's shoving it in their face. And I think if you're going to be that stupid and tout a pharmaceutical company that has none of your best interests in mind or heart, then, yeah, you might deserve to be kind of put on the spot for that. But anyways, this has been a fucking awesome conversation with Tino Sanchez. I got to go. It's been fun. It's been real. Thanks for listening to the show, folks. And support us on Patreon. There is an episode out daily. What? Yeah, that's right. Daily episodes. Can you believe it? I can't. I don't know how I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. 15 minutes at least a day. And once a week, I do an hour on the Patreon. So please come over there and support us. Support Tino at Tino Boumaye on Instagram and Facebook, Tino Sanchez. So yeah, thanks for listening. Take it easy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.